123. Psalm 123 this morning. Psalm 123. These are one of the songs of degrees. And if you look through the, starting with Psalm 120 and I think to Psalm 135 or 134, I believe there are the songs of degrees. And these degrees are not talking about degrees on a thing. It's talking about elevation. All right? And these are psalms that used to be sung and spoken as they went up to Jerusalem to get nearer to the temple. And because Jerusalem's up on a mountain, they would go up the mount to Jerusalem. And they also reflect growth in a Christian, salvation and then growth up to drawing nearer to God. And so that's kind of the idea of them. That was the way God put them in there. So Psalm 123, verse 1, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Now, when we look at this, there's a few things that we could look at. And if you look at our culture today and the way it is going, and you look at our media today, and you look at the things that are being said, you have a bunch of people that are, we call them, are starting to call them the so-called elites, right? They think themselves elite. The celebrities. And you notice these people, and they are so detached from reality and the politically powerful, and they're so detached from reality and day-to-day stuff. I mean, we have people like many of these politicians, our president included, they've never actually even had to hold a job, a real job, or not for many, many years. And that's a problem with a lot of our politicians, is they've made politics a career, and that they think is their job, but they've never had to have a job where somebody else wasn't providing the money for them. That they actually had to go out and work and provide a service to be paid. I mean, they sit up there they sit up there and essentially do nothing. They make no decisions, do nothing, just let everything run as it is, right? And they don't really have to do anything. And they're still going to get paid, aren't they? They don't have to produce anything. And to be honest, it'd be nice if they just stopped doing stuff, wouldn't it? But you have all these people and they look at everybody else with contempt. And we see that on a daily basis. There was a Republican. It's kind of funny. There was a Republican in New York, and I listened to him. He got caught because he put some things on his resume and on his things that he said he was going to do. He lied about things that he had done. You know, he kind of hedged the truth here and there, and some places outright lied and everything. And then I was listening to the interview, and he was justifying himself and he said it was kind of funny. He said I say funny, but funny in the sense that he thinks this way. But he was they was asking about, he had worked for Goldman Sachs or someplace like that, and he had never worked for Goldman Sachs. Now, he had worked probably in the work that he was doing. And one good thing about him, at least he obviously isn't an honest man, but at least he knows how to work, because he actually worked some jobs. But he obviously worked at some firm that did some work with Goldman Sachs. But he said he worked for Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs says, you never worked for us. But he had worked with them. Now, if he had just said, we've worked with them and I've worked with these firms, that would have been all right. But he said he worked for them. But when he said he worked for Goldman Sachs and somebody asked him, it's like, why did you say that? And he said, well, I can't sit here and take the time and to go through all this stuff that's obviously way above the people's head. Now, this man is a Republican. Of course, we got a lot of people professing faith in Christ that think that the Republicans are sent by God, and they're not. The simple fact is, other than the fact that God's allowed them to come to power, that they're not sent by God. But this man here is, you could see his contempt, right? For the people, because he thinks we're too stupid to understand finances. And that's a sad thing. And we see that a lot of people that are in power in politics or in celebrities or in sports or in these people that are in an entertainment industry and these people that are wealthy and billionaires, the George Soros's, the Bill Gates, and everything, they look at us like we're just a bunch of ignoramuses and we don't know anything. They have contempt for the what they would call the common people. All right? And so when we look at that, we see that, and Israel was dealing with that too, with the nations around them, and with their own leaders. And so this is just as relevant now as it was then. You know, you remember the way that the people talked about Jesus, the Pharisees of that day. And these were the precursors to that. These were the times when these things were going on and they were learning. You see how Solomon got lifted up with pride and violated the law of God, even though he was, at that time, he literally was the wisest man on earth and probably the smartest man that ever lived, as far as humanly speaking goes. But God granted him great wisdom, but he got filled up with pride, and he ended up, and he violated the law of God. You know, if they had a king, they weren't supposed to multiply wives in themselves. And of course, David had multiple wives. He violated that law. And Solomon had, I think he said 300 wives and 1,000 concubines or something like that. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at the actual numbers, what the Bible says. So he violated it wholesale, and it turned his heart away from God. And even though God used him greatly, we see the consequences of his violation. And so, but as you go through that, you see the people, the Pharisees. We get to the time of Jesus, and they sent people to go get Jesus, and they said. They listened to Jesus speak, and the soldiers came back, and they said, "Never man spake as this man." And they asked him, they basically called him fools. And he says, "Have any of the rulers believed on him?" He said, "But this people that knoweth not the law, they're cursed." And we saw that attitude fold in, come up in early Christian circles too, didn't they? When Constantine supposedly became a Christian, all right? By the way, Constantine was not a Christian. He put off being baptized until just before his death because he thought baptism washed away his sins. So that's a historical fact. But the simple fact is that there are many people that were professing Christians in that time that they saw and wanted the power of the state. And Roman Catholicism came out of that And what did Catholicism do for generations and generations? Well, the common man couldn't have the Bible because he was too ignorant to understand it. And I thank God for raising up William Tyndale and others so that we could have the Word of God in our own language and we could have it. And so praise the Lord for that. But the reality of that is that that's the way people are, and people were dealing with that. And we deal with that too. So what do we do about it? What do we do about that attitude that we have to deal with from those that are more powerful than we are in the terms of the powers of this world? Well, you know, when I was in the military, we had a means by which we could deal with things, and it's a common sense way to handle things, really. But we would have what we called a chit. It's a CHIT, and it's a little thing that. A little form that we had that had several copies on it. It had like, six copies. And I would take that form and I would take it. And if I had a request that I wanted to do, I had a request, I would take that request and I would write my request out for what I wanted, whether it was leave or something like that or some other thing. And I would put that on there and I'd write that request and I would take it to my work center supervisor, and he would take it and he would sign off on it. Then he would take it to my division. Then it would go to my division chief, and he would take it and he would sign off, yay or nay. But he didn't get the final word, did he? Nope. Then it went to my division officer, and he would sign yay or nay. And it didn't matter if he signed yay or nay, because then it would go to my department head, my department officer. And he would sign his yay or nay. But it didn't stop there, because then it went to the executive officer, the second in command, and he would sign yay or nay. And if he said nay, you know, it would go up there. If it went up there, and it, as it went up, they could say yes or they could say no. They could agree with the person below them, right? But it had to go on up the chain, and finally it would get to the captain of the ship, and the captain would have the final say on it. So everybody else could say nay, 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 but the captain could say yay, yes. Or everybody could say yes, and the captain could say no. So I always knew when I put that chit in, that form in, I always knew that I was going to get a hearing, not from just the people that were right above me. I was going to get a hearing from the captain himself. Matter of fact, we had a time where we were out at sea, and we had a young man who got a message, and he got a message from his been married for just less than a year. And he had got married, and then he had to go out on a cruise. We were deployed out on a cruise, and he got a letter back from his family saying, "Hey, you need to find a way to get home because your wife has taken up with another man, and she is in the process because, you know, when I left and went out to sea, I had to give my wife a power of attorney so she could do things that were necessary." And by the way, this is why you need to find a good, godly. If you're a young person, you need to find somebody who's good and godly and decent when you get married, because if you don't, it could cost you down the line. But she was taking, and she was using that power of attorney to get to take all of his possessions and everything. And you know, he was stuck on deployment. He couldn't do anything. And so one of the things that we did was I had him put in, I said, put in a chit for emergency leave. I said, I'll sign it. I was his work center supervisor. I said, I will sign it. I'll take it to the chief. I'll take it to them. And they said, no, 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 all the way up the chain. So I got everybody together we had another thing that we could do, and we could put in what was called a request for captain's mast. Captain's mast is what happens, it's non-judicial punishment, but you can also request it to plead your cause. And so we had I had everybody in our work center and in the next work center in our division. I got them together and told them, I said, look, Paul needs to go home. I said, he can't keep his mind on his work. His life's going apart. He's about to lose everything he owns. I said, we need to get him home. And I said, so here's what I propose. I propose we all put in a request for captain's mast. So we had about 20 some odd people in our division, and everyone put in a request for captain's mast. And I took all of those things and I popped them up there, and I took them to the division officer. I took them, they were signed off by all the work center supervisors and chiefs, and I took them up to the division officers, I took them up to the division chiefs, and I said, here you go. And he said, what's this? I said, these are requests for captain's mast. He's like, you can't do that. And I said, well, yes, I can. And they said, but we can't take all these to division officer. I said, well, if you want to, sign them off and I'll take them up. They said, no, we'll take them. And so they took them up to division officer. The division officer come down there and said, Petty Officer Sanders, you can't do this. I said, yes, sir, I can. I said, it's in the military code, uniform code of military justice. I said, yes, sir, I can. And so he took it up to the department head, and the department head said, what are they doing? He says, request a captain's mast. It's there. He said, let that boy go home. Yep. And they put him on a helo. We transferred him over to the carrier. Carrier put him on a helo. They took him out. They got him on a plane. They took him there. He got home. He was able to take care of things, and he came back. He got 30 days of emergency leave, and he came back, and he was able to do that. And you know, it's just an amazing thing. We act like we don't have any ability sometimes when people do crazy things in this world. We act like we don't have any ability to do anything, but notice what he said. He said, unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of their mistress, just like people look to those that are more powerful on this earth to help them to be there. These servants that were there, the eyes of servants look under the hand of their master, they're dependent upon the master, the maiden to her mistress, looking for their favor. We go farther than that. We can go all the way up to heaven itself. And he said, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, that he may have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. We live in this world in this day, and it may get worse, it may get more difficult, but if God grants us the entire new year, we have somewhere to look. And I want to challenge you to look to the heavens more than you ever have. To trust in the Lord. To take your burdens to the Lord more than you ever have this year. Amen. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you.
1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And we ought to be looking unto God the same way that we would, if we were a servant, we would look unto the hand of our master. If we were a handmaid, we would look unto the hand of our mistress. We would say, they're the ones that can plead my cause. They're the ones. Just like I looked all the way up to my captain on the ship when we had a great crisis, a great burden for this young man. We had that right, that power to go and ask of the one that held supreme power on that ship as far as man is concerned. We looked all the way up to the very top. And we made our plea to Him. Because it was funny. So I had all those 20 some odd forms that I took up and plopped on the my chief's desk, and he took to the division officer and he took to the department head, and they were all there, and they said, "You know what? It'd be a whole lot easier if we just go ahead and approve this emergency leave jet than have to explain to the captain all this type of stuff." And you know, this world doesn't think they have to explain anything to God. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that God can't and won't intervene. He can. I've seen so many times in my life that God has intervened when I've called upon Him. And if you name the name of Christ, why would we depend upon man when we have somebody better to depend upon? And when we depend upon our Lord and we look up to heaven, why would we pretend like mankind in this world has the final say on anything? If you had the final say, you'd still be on your way to hell. Because if God hadn't intervened, you wouldn't have any hope. Nobody would they? Yeah, we went and watched a play over at Jesus Christ Baptist Church because Becky and Seth were in a play over there, so we went over there and watched it. And then after that, Brother McKinney preached, and he was talking about the love and the mercy of God and everything like that, and how God draws with loving kindness and everything. And that is the work that God does. We go all the way back to the simple fact that God gives man light. Right? Yes. God gives man light. Jesus Christ is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God gives every man enough light to get saved because of His loving kindness, because of His mercy. And if He loved us that much when we were lost, when we were enemies, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? It says in the book of Romans. But what does James say? You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You know, when we took those forms up and submitted them, we weren't asking for ourselves. We were asking for another, weren't we? It made a difference, even among men. And you know, when we start desiring and wanting the way and the will of God, it's amazing what God will do. And so I want to challenge you that to look to the Lord more than you ever have. To look to the Lord more this year than you ever have. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to go as we grow up. We're supposed to get nearer to God, right? We're supposed to become more dependent upon God. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy on us. He said, I'm going to keep looking, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, till I get an answer, till I get what I need. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we're exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Have you had enough of this world? Have you had enough of the abject? I mean, we've gone through all this stuff with COVID. We look at all the things they try to do to divide us and the racism and everything that's going on, and we look at all this whole world. Are you fed up with it? Are you filled to the brim? Well, as I see it, you got two choices. You can just keep on enduring it, or you can take that burden to the Lord. We can go higher. We have that right. Why wouldn't we use it? If you had a problem and you could pick up the phone and say, Mr. President, I have a problem. I know some of you would be on the phone every day. Huh? Remember the widow and the unjust judge? Now all you have to do is lift your eyes and your heart to heaven and call upon the Lord. There's none higher, is there? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the fact that though the world may seemingly be against us, and though we may be regarded with scorn and contempt, Lord, You don't see us that way. You love us and You care for us. So help us to look and lift our eyes unto You. Father, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation, that they would lift their eyes to heaven and call upon You and believe that Jesus paid the penalty for their sins and that He died and rose from the dead. They put their faith in that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross and in the Savior that shed that blood. And You promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if You will save us when we're Your enemies, how much more will You hear when we're Your children? We thank You for that. Help us to look up to heaven and look beyond this world. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.